Go downstairs for 7:30. It's a long, long stairs. I sat down to do my quiet time because that's about the quietest the house has ever been, really, first thing in the morning. And my phone went, and I thought, well, I don't usually interrupt quiet time from my phone, but I thought I better phone, pick this up. And it was a message from Dave Criddle, and it had the title, "I Can't Speak." And of course, my first reaction was a deeply spiritual one. It went a bit like, ah! And then God spoke, which is really good, really. The subject we're going to talk about has actually changed twice. We initially were going to speak about one subject, and then Dave came back and said, I like that, but I'm feeling we should go here. And it changed from one subject to the word, it was the last words of David. And I've changed it again. And it's going to be called David's Lasting Words. A bit different, but all the same. If you think about David, what words always come up, even though we're thousands of years after he actually lived? Psalm 23. They're pretty lasting words, isn't it? Because very few people say words that are remembered thousands of years later. And yet Psalm 23 is, sadly, for many people, it's been consigned to a guest at a funeral. But those amazing words that we're going to talk about this morning are so much more than someone's last remembrance, aren't they? They're something for every single day, for every single one of us. And so I went to Psalm 23 this morning, as God prompted me, and I read it in the good old-fashioned New King James Version. Well, it's not the good old-fashioned, it's sort of upgraded old-fashioned version. And it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Don't know about you, but if you read something in the same thing for many years, it becomes a bit familiar, doesn't it? And sometimes a bit over-familiar. So while I was sitting there this morning, I picked up my Kindle, and I went to that amazing tool called Bible Gateway. Everyone got that? Yeah. If you haven't, get it. It is absolutely amazing. And I turned up Psalm 23 in the New King James Version, and then there's this marvellous little button that says All Versions. And it gives you about 20 plus versions of that passage. And I was skimming down and I came across the Living Bible's version of it. And it says this, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me do what honours him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will be not afraid. For you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life. And afterwards, I will live with you forever in your home." When you take another version and have another look at it, you can see so many different things that come out from something you become used to over many, many years, can't you? So what I thought we'd do this morning is we'd take a walk through Psalm 23 and see where God leads us. I was thinking this morning that really I should have got Brian up this morning and talked to us about shepherding. because he's a bit more of an expert than I am. But it was a bit last minute this morning. I thought, one of us has to panic. Don't let the other one panic as well. So I thought we'd stick with me. But as I was thinking about these verses, different verses came to me from different angles. So we got Psalm 23 verse 1 says this, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." We live in a world where people are not satisfied. Never satisfied. There's always something they want else. And when they've got that, they want something else. And it doesn't just happen to children. It's pretty obvious when children are like this, they play with a new toy for about 10 minutes, then they're looking around because they're bored, they want something else. But as adults, we do that very often as well, don't we? And we've been conformed into this world's pattern of thinking that there's always something better. There's always something more. My car is not good enough for me now because obviously this car is better. This TV is obviously not big enough for me. I need a bigger one. We're always on that little hamster's little run wheel, aren't we? And yet, Psalm 23 says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." And I was taken to Philippians 4, verse 19. It says this. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The extent of our need can only be met by the riches of someone who can meet that need, can't they? And yet we read, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. There can't be anything richer than that. And yet he says, those riches meet my every single need, every single moment of every single day. Wherever I am, whatever I'm going through, he can meet my need. Do I believe that? Oh, that was the obvious answer, wasn't it, John? Yeah. Do I actually believe he can meet my every need for every single circumstance or situation?
Yes.
Because if I don't, when those needs come, I will crumble. But if I see him and his riches supply my need, I won't just get by, I will conquer. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. 2-3 says this, "He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams." I actually like the New King James Version, because it says, "He makes me lie down." Do you ever get that position where God says, it's time to stop? Sit down. We're so busy running and rushing, so full of things. God sometimes has to say, he makes me lie down because it's time to stop. He didn't give the children of Israel Sabbath day just to put their feet up and twiddle their thumbs. He gave it to them because they needed it. They needed time set aside to be still. Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I'm God." We can't know he's God if we're continually rushing around. And sometimes he has to make us lie down. We might not like it, but it's what we need. And he doesn't just make us lie down in rough places. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me by quiet streams. That's what every single one of us needs. We need to be sustained by him. And it's available. But often we're so busy rushing around we miss it. Because until we lie down, until we can't, we're refreshed, until that point, our souls will not be restored. He restores my soul. doesn't restore my soul and then sit me down. He has to sit me down to restore my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Interesting slant that the Living Bible gives him. He helps me do what honours him most. He helps me do what honours him most. We were built to worship. It's inbuilt. And even if you weren't a Christian, if you look around this the world, you'll know people are built to worship. They worship cars, they worship celebrities, they worship their jobs, they worship their family, their homes, whatever. It's an inbuilt into us to worship. And yet we are built to worship him. And he helps me do that. He helps me to do what honors him most. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. He gives us the strength when we need it, even when we don't know that we do need it. You know the headless chicken? Chop his head off, it keeps going for quite a while because it hasn't reached his idea that he's dead. Often we're like that, aren't we? Running around like headless chickens. No direction. And yet, we need to rest. We need the strength. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I was taken to 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. It's about Paul in prison. And he literally is in the shadow of death. And 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17 says this. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Verse 17. But the Lord stood with me. You might feel that you're going through a situation that no one knows the circumstances of. Only you know what's happening to you. And it's just too much. The Lord has promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. And Paul knew that in a reality. Paul said, but the Lord stood with me. No matter how big the enemy appears, or how big that enemy seems, the Lord will stand by you and with you, and he will strengthen you. No matter how dark the situation seems, even in the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Living Bible says, you provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Surrounded by enemies, God sets a table. And he fills it with delicious food. As if he's saying, it doesn't matter what's happening around you, how big the enemy is, I will make provision for you. I have made provision for you. I am making provision for you. No matter what it seems like, no matter how big the enemy is, I've set a table before you. And I've filled it with delicious food. You have welcomed me as your guest. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. The very God of heaven welcomes us as guests. That's amazing. And it says this, two words. Blessings overflow. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He hasn't kept anything back. He hasn't kept anything back because you're you instead of someone else. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do I need anything else? Do I lack anything? Every blessing he's blessed us with. Not just a little bit. Not just enough. But my cup overflows. I can never get enough of God's blessings. His blessings will never end. There will be always more than I need. For you and for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home. That shepherd is not just for now, it's for eternity as well. John 14, verses 1 to 3 says this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has prepared a place for me. He has prepared a place for you. My good shepherd is just not for today, not even just for tomorrow. He is forever. Amazing words. I was taken to Isaiah 40, verse 11. And I knew this verse, but could I find it? So my mate, Bible Gateway, helped me out. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says this. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arms. And carries them close to his heart. And he gently leads those who have young. And I had a picture of a mother and baby. Now, think about babies. They do tend to cry sometimes, don't they? Quite often. And a mother's reaction is to pick the baby up and to hold her close. Yeah? What two things does that baby hear at that point? Mum's voice, mum's heartbeat. And what happens when it hears that? Soothes and calms and comforts. This is the shepherd we have. One who carries us close to his heart. You can't get closer than that. And when we feel the heartbeat of God, we have peace, we have calm, we have comfort. John 10, 14 says this, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know me. The great God of creation, the sustainer and author of all life, knows me. Amongst the whole of this creation, I am known by him. The sheep hear his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He walks ahead of them and they follow him, for they recognize his voice. Nowadays, if we see shepherds, we're used to them driving the sheep forward, aren't we? And yet in Old Testament times, in the Bible lands, the shepherd goes before. And the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. Very often we fall in the trap of running ahead of the shepherd, don't we? Instead of following him and listening to his voice. As NCC was birthed, it's pretty scary. As we look for a pastor, it's pretty scary. But as long as we follow the shepherd and recognize his voice, we will not go wrong. But we need to be those who follow and who listen. Because the shepherd is there. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always go before us. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need.